All right, you're back in the sports bar. Danger and Battaglia, thank you for joining us this afternoon on ESPN Rochester. He's a voice that you might hear on ESPN Radio. He's also the voice of the New York Jets, doing play-by-play for the Jets. It's Bob Wischusen joining us now to talk Bills and Jets in the sports bar. Hey, Bob, how are you?
Good, guys. How you doing?
Bob, appreciate the time today. At least this matchup, I felt kind of cheated the last time with nothing against Josh McCown or Barkley, but this is the matchup we want, Allen against Darnold. Tell us, we know our Darnold coming back from the injury, but on the whole, how did has his rookie season gone, Sam Darnold?
He's a rookie. I'm not really sure of any other way to put it. I mean, if you look at, the weapons he has to work with, the shifting they've done on the offensive line, the injuries they've had, it's tough sledding right now. And now he's hurt and has been hurt. But, I mean, he can do this. Like, I don't think there's any question. The DNA is there for him to be a 12-year, 15-year starter in the NFL. It's just he needs an overhaul of this offense. He needs help on the offensive line to block for him. And he needs some weapons. You know, that they have no home run hitting capability to their offense right now. So, he's learning, but he's limited in what he can do because the guys that he's throwing to are very limited in what they can do.
Bob, talk about the kind of tutoring that he's getting, the mentorship that he's getting, whether it be Josh McCown or Jermaine Bates or to an extension Todd Bowles. I mean, what about the support that he's getting from the coaching staff, from his peers?
Well, I mean, I think the most influential of that group is certainly McCown. We kind of chuckle about Josh McCown. He even, last year tweeted that funny picture of his daughter and all her friends in every jersey he's worn. And then, there's still, three jerseys left over. She didn't have enough friends to fill out all the jerseys that he had in his closet. I mean, I think, the guy's been with, 11 teams. But there's something to be said on kind of the more complimentary side to every time you are let go by someone in the NFL, there's another team out there that wants you. And they want him because of the kind of guy he is. If tomorrow he said, I'm done playing, I just can't do this anymore, they would hand him a headset, on the spot. I would not be surprised if Josh McCown's a head coach someday. I think that he's that kind of a personality. So to me, that's been the number one thing. Sam Darnold has a world of talent beyond anything that Josh McCown could ever imagine having. But there's still a lot to be said for being in a room every day with a guy that shows you how to be a pro and how to watch tape like a pro and how to prepare like a pro and how to practice like a pro. And Darnold's a sponge. I mean, he wants all of that. So to me, that's been the best and most productive part of his rookie year, that relationship.
Bob, I thought it was interesting, if these reports are true, that Darnold would have been healthy enough to perhaps play last week against Tennessee. He did not. So I guess that's the first part. Is that accurate? And secondly, your thoughts, because it's interesting because Buffalo handled it the opposite way. As soon as Allen was ready to go, he's back in there. And the time off seems to have done him well. He performed well against Jacksonville. And even though they lost, he performed really well in Miami. Just your thoughts on the decision, if that's true again, if for Darnold not to play in that game against Tennessee.
I think that's coach's philosophy, agree with it or not. There are probably some coaches that would say, all right, he's healthy enough to play on Sunday, even if he didn't practice full all week. Screw it, put him out there, and let's let him play. That's not Todd Bowles. I mean, my experience with Todd Bowles is he wants to see you practice, and he wants to see you run around and see that you can protect yourself and see that you've got some timing with your receivers and, see that you can do it. And, let's be honest, he's trying, I think, at this point, to have some of these games at the end of the year pass the eye test, even if they don't win them, pass the eye test and, save his job.
Mm-hmm.
So, what gave him a better chance to win the game this past weekend on the road against a team that's fighting for their life and they blow a 16-0 lead? He thought having Josh McCown, who practiced limited, I think, Wednesday, Thursday, but still did more than Darnold, and then practiced full on Friday and went through a full timing practice with the wide receivers, that he was going to be able to go out there and give him a better chance to win. And, I don't know that necessarily at this moment getting the maximum amount of playing time just to Sam Darnold is the coach's number one priority. I mean, I would think that, you know, with the way the season's gone, he senses that these last 4 or 5 weeks, they need to have some games where they look at least like they're going in the right direction, and they have not had any of those games of late.
Bob, I look back to the Jets' loss earlier this year at home to the Bills, and I thought at that moment after that game that that was going to be the end of Todd Bowles. You know, it's just a matter of time, and the offseason might prove to be that. But is it Bowles' fault? And is it fair to say that Todd Bowles, you know, his fans are clamoring for his head, that he deserves that? I mean, he's got a rookie quarterback, and rookie quarterbacks need more than 1 year in a lot of cases to really know what you have with your team.
Every coach is going to be a victim somewhat of the circumstances in the hands he's dealt. There's no doubt. I mean, look at the quarterbacks he's had. You know, close your eyes if you're a Buffalo Bills fan and flash back to when they gave Ryan Fitzpatrick like $50 million off of like half a season. That was Todd Bowles' quarterback his first 2 years. And the best year Ryan Fitzpatrick has ever had, by far, the only year he finished as an above 500 starting quarterback was Bowles' first year when they went 10-6, and they were the only above 500 team not to make the playoffs. Then the whole world was clamoring to bring Ryan Fitzpatrick back. Wait, they went 10-6 last year. How do you get rid of Fitz? Got to bring Fitz back. Fitz magic. He comes back the next year and turns back into Ryan Fitzpatrick. He's a backup quarterback. So they then go to Josh McCown, who's a backup quarterback. Finally, they've got Sam Darnold. But yes, Sam Darnold's a rookie, and he's playing like a rookie. And they have little to no skill position talent. So how much of that is on the head coach? You know, that's hard. What I would say is you can't fire the team. And that's you know, we all know that Black Monday, often in the NFL, features a lot of teams that fire their coach. And then from the time they fire their coach to opening day of the next season, they do whatever they can to change the entire team around. Kind of by definition admitting, yeah, we fired the coach, but we also realize our team's not very good. And we needed a lot of new players in here. So I expect that will be the Jets. I think there's a very good chance they fire Todd Bowles, and they are going to try and flip this roster before next season because I think they realize they don't have a lot of very good players. Mm. So, you know, that's the reality of it. Now, having said that, I never really thought that this year was about anything other. I didn't think this was a year for the Jets about wins and losses. I thought this was a year about developing the quarterback and watching the games and passing the eye test. And that game against the Bills a couple of weeks ago, a good example. How could you possibly look at that game and say the Jets passed the eye test that day? And the coach normally pays for a team that plays like that.
Yeah.
What's sad is, after these games, there are Jet players lining up left and right to say to any microphone that's put in front of them, this is not on Todd Bowles, this is on us, he's a good coach, we have to execute, we have to do a better job, we, you know, and that's great. Those are words.
Yeah.
That's nice to say, but those are words. Your actions are what is going to determine the fate of this coach you say you love so much. And where were their actions when they played the Bills 3 weeks ago? Where were their actions when they had a 16-0 lead this past week and committed penalties, gave the ball away, and blew it at the end of the game? So, you know, ultimately, is Todd probably going to pay with his job for what has gone on? I guess he will. But there should be a lot of guys looking in the mirror if that ends up happening to the coach that they really say they're doing whatever they can to help. Because when they actually have to go out between the white lines and do it, they're not doing a lot right now to help them.
Bob, I'm curious. You brought up the development of Darnold. I mean, this season is about his development and seeing him grow and seeing him progress. How much of his growth gets stunted if the Jets clean house, if the Jets do a roster turnover?
Well, I mean, it's hard to say. Like, his growth should be enhanced by turning the roster over because the roster should feature – they have $100 million in free agent money to spend next year.
Yeah.
Like, if they go out and they're the team that gets Le'Veon Bell, that should enhance his growth. I mean, you know, like that just stands to reason if they go out and spend the money on some skill guys that can truly impact the game, then he should benefit from that. And of course, now if you look around the league at the way that the league is trending, it's trending towards the Chiefs, and the Rams and the Saints and the offensive-minded head coaches coming up with ways to exploit defenses that don't have a lot of time to prepare. I mean, it's much easier to, on day one, install these run-everybody-all-over-the-field route trees rather than coming up with a lot of the different ways that defenses should have to disguise their looks against these explosive offenses when you only have 20 hours a week to get ready for these games. The rules all say that they want nothing but points scored. You know, so that's the way the league is trending. So if they were to change coaches and just in fantasy land, Lincoln Riley becomes the next Jet head coach and they put Le'Veon Bell behind Sam Darnold, and they get him a wide receiver or two, well, how would that coaching change and those different faces not enhance his ability to develop? And, you know, the one piece that they've got, and it's the one piece every team is looking for, is the quarterback. So to me, the jumping off point of where they can go from here is they have the one thing that they've been looking for 30 years, that every other team that they play against seems to at some point or another have found. You know, like the Bills had their Jim Kelly era, and and now they're hoping they're going to have their Allen era, and the Dolphins had their Marino era, and the Patriots, of course, you know, right now are still in their era with their franchise quarterback. During all of these last three decades, the Jets have never had any of that. They've constantly been looking for that guy and have never come up with a guy that could compare to any of those guys. Couldn't even be in the same conversation as any of those guys in their best year. Well, now they think they've got that guy. That should make this job a very appealing job for some coaches to want. And it also should make it easy maybe to get some free agents to come here and make it easier to draft, you know, because now you're going to look for some explosive pieces to put around the guy.
Bob, if you could settle an argument here.
Well, it's not even an argument, Bob. Here's the thing.
I can try.
I love what you're saying, and I hear what you're saying. But when we talk about the openings that are going to be available this offseason, you know, if you're a free agent head coach and you have the chance to go work with the Packers or even the Browns with Baker Mayfield, I mean, I would think that those are opportunities that a lot of coaches are going to, a lot of big name coaches are going to jump at, and the Jets might find themselves, if they are truly looking for an offensive minded head coach. My fear with that is, you know, a lot of with a head coach, we need to find the next Sean McVay, we need to find the next Matt Nagy. Well, you might also find the next Ben McAdoo, so be careful what you wish for. I know that there's some Jets fans clamoring for this, and you probably see where I'm going with this, Bob. What about Rex Ryan?
No.
Yes.
Why not?
No. Why not? I mean, no, you're not going back down that road. They're not going to bring in another defensive coach. I just don't see them doing that.
But when the entire league is going in one direction, why? What? There's a benefit to going. There's a benefit to zigging when everybody else is zagging.
Yeah, there's a reason the whole league is going in one direction. You know, I mean, why be an island when you can? You know, it's a copycat league. You know, most teams don't then decide we're going to go completely off the reservation and go in a completely different direction. I think Rex was a better head coach than people give him credit for, but at the same time, I do think that he had some fundamental flaws where, like, the head coach needs to be the CEO. The head coach needs to give off that. And I don't know that Rex ever gave that off. Rex still had kind of the bombastic, colorful coordinator part to his personality. You know, the CEO is the guy that needs to put the public face out there. And, you know, Rex, I think, was a little too much of a caricature at times to be, you know, they're not going back down that road. They're going to go a different direction. But, yeah, I mean, I would think the Packer job would be the number one job that everybody would want because you're going in there with Aaron Rodgers. And Aaron Rodgers probably still has 6 or 7 more years he could play as, you know, at the top of the league in terms of ability level. So, I mean, anybody that is looking for a head coaching vacancy of the NBA, if LeBron has a head coaching vacancy on his team, that will be the most sought-after head coaching vacancy.
Of course.
You want to go coach the best player. I get that. You're going to want to go to Green Bay first. I don't think that football guys who watch the college tape and then watch a year's worth of tape in the NFL are going to vastly separate or overrate Baker Mayfield and Sam Darnold. I mean, I think they're going to see both of those guys kind of on the same level and the same opportunity. I don't think there's going to be a coach going, I really have no chance to win with Sam Darnold because this Baker Mayfield guy is just lighting it up in Cleveland, and I got to go there to coach him because Darnold's a distant second. Like, Baker Mayfield has guys like Duke Johnson and Jarvis Landry and Njoku on his team. The Jets don't have any of those kind of guys. So a coach is going to look at Sam Darnold and say, if I can put those kind of weapons around this guy, I think he might be better than Baker Mayfield. And you're going to get enough coaches that are going to look at it that way, and I think the Jet job would be very desirable because you have that piece as a jumping-off point.
Bob Wischusen's the voice of the New York Jets. Bob, if there's one thing that Jet fans and Bills fans can share together, that's their disdain for the team that plays halfway between Boston and Providence. You called the game against the Patriots last week. What's your impression of the 2018 version of the Patriots? And I know we have this conversation every year, but could this be the end of the Patriots, Bob Wischusen?
Well, I guess define the end of the Patriots. Like, are they going to go to the Super Bowl this year? Probably not. I would say that I think they're still good. Maybe not good enough, but they're still good. And right now, today, if I am picking who's going to win the AFC East next year and be back in the playoffs again next year with probably a first-round bye again next year, I'm still picking the Patriots. Because until one of these other teams puts a legit quarterback and a legit supporting cast around that quarterback, then the Patriots are going to start off the year 5-1, right? Because they're probably going to win 5 out of their 6 divisional games.
Yeah.
So they're automatically going to be a 5-1 team to begin the year, and they're automatically going to be a division champion that automatically guarantees them a home playoff game. So from before they pass go, that's their jumping off point. So if they stay healthy, some other teams have a couple injuries, they hit their offseason this year. I mean, the one thing they have shown a willingness to do, going out and trading for a Cooks, bringing in a Gordon, whatever, the things they've done the past couple of years, they have shown a willingness now to mortgage the future to go after it while Tom Brady is still capable of going after it. And he's probably not as good as he was a couple of years ago. I mean, his legs are starting to fail him a little bit, but he's still good enough. He's still by far the best quarterback in this division, so, and will be again next year. So, you know, I mean, I'm not picking them to be the Super Bowl champs. You know, I think if they run into, you know, the Chiefs on the road in the postseason, I think they'll be a 6 or 7 point underdog in that game if they're playing that game at Arrowhead. But they could get there. I mean, they're still a contender,
yeah,
and they could beat anybody. And I think that's probably the case next year until we see them actually not do it. I guess wake me when they go 8-8. If they go 8-8 at some point, then yeah. I mean, I'll be the first person to line up and say, boy, I was wrong. But it seems like we've been waiting a long time for that to happen.
He's the voice of the New York Jets. You can also hear him on ESPN Radio. Bob Wischusen joining us in the sports bar, Danger and Battaglia. And Bob, before we let you go, I heard a giant collective sigh of relief from the Meadowlands when they announced our lead story today. Kelvin Benjamin has been released by the Buffalo Bills. Are the Jets defense, they're going to be able to handle themselves on Sunday?
I think that, you know, I think they'll be able to at least suit up and play the game. I think they'll make it through.
Bob, have you gotten your college bowl? I would imagine you're doing one or two, right? Did they give you your schedule? Do you know what bowl games you'll be calling here?
Yes. We, our crew will be doing the Peach Bowl, which is fun. That's Michigan, Florida.
Mm.
Although that is the, you know, kind of the latest incarnation of that one. And I'm also part of a crew that's going to call the Pinstripe Bowl. That's Miami and Wisconsin. So, you know, all four brand name teams, and it's always fun at this time of the year, if you're not calling one of the playoff games, to at least have teams in your game that people, when they see those uniforms on television, you know, when people see Miami or Wisconsin or Michigan or Florida, you know, they might stop and watch for a little while. So, and both games should be very competitive. I don't think either game is going to be more than a 5-7 point spread one way or the other.
Bob, we've been very fortunate to have you on with us. Really appreciate your time. Know how busy you are. Looking forward to Sunday and looking forward to hearing your call during bowl season as well on ESPN Radio. Bob Wischusen, enjoy the rest of your night.
All right, guys. Glad to help. See ya.
Bob Wischusen agrees with me, Danger. Agrees with me.
Hey, listen. I understand what you're coming from, and I understand where he's coming from. And I'm not saying that they're wrong for trying to follow this trend of let's fight, we got to find an offensive-minded head coach. Yeah, yeah, the league is going in this direction. But tell me that there isn't some wisdom to zigging when everybody else is zagging. Tell me that the Bears, you know, with the defense that they have right now, aren't going to be competitive every single week.
Well, here's where it falls apart. I'm going to tell you, long-term. Long-term. Because if the Bills say this is great, say the Bills all of a sudden become this 11-5 team next year with Josh Allen. Who's going to get the credit for that? Brian Daboll. Who will become getting head coaching job? In other words, you're going to always have that churn at the offensive coordinator position. If it's going well, you need a head coach that understands offensive play.
Well, in that case, then the Bills hired the wrong guy. Then we might as well just say forget it, because we have a defensive-minded head coach who has this defense humming and playing like a top three unit in the league. And if you have a top three unit in the league or a top five unit in the league defensively, you only need competency on the other side of the ball. You don't need the Rams. You don't need the Chiefs. You just need competent. That's all you need if you have a top five defense. The Rams don't have that. The Chiefs don't have that. The Rams, good defense. Chiefs, not a good defense.
Well, Chicago is going to be your litmus test, right? Because Chicago, yes, great defense. You're going to go up against New Orleans and or the Rams in the postseason.
Yeah. I mean, the Rams on Sunday night is a game I'm licking my chops. I can't wait to see what that game looks like. And if the Rams get over on the Bears defense, you know, look, I'm not disagreeing that the league is moving in an offensive direction. Of course it is. The rules dictate that that's the direction it is going. But I'm saying to completely ignore a defensive-minded head coach because you have a specific, we want an offensive-minded head coach. That's silly. That's silly to me. Hire the best guy. Hire the best person for the job. If it happens to be a defensive-minded head coach, you might actually still end up in the right spot. You might end up doing what you never thought you could do with your organization. I don't know that the Bills are wrong for hiring a defensive-minded head coach. We'll find out over the course of the next few years.
I would say, though, that what's different about McDermott and what's different about whoever the Jets, and look, we got to preface this by saying Todd Bowles still has a job, okay? But when McDermott got here, the Bills did not have a quarterback here, okay? You still had Tyrod at that point. The Jets' job, it's not number one, but I would think it's top three in terms of attractiveness. And again, I think Cleveland actually would be right slightly ahead with Baker Mayfield. But if the Jets have all this cap space and if they want to go buy themselves a Le'Veon Bell, some head coach is going to gobble that up.
It's a mistake. It's a mistake.
I agree with you on that.
Yeah. I mean, you know, that's all fine and good and you have all this cap space. But if you're going to overpay for a position where you can get production anywhere, that's a mistake. But listen, having that conversation with Wischusen, did you get the sense that he's frustrated? Like, this is an endless cycle for this organization, and they can't get it right. And I would love to see Sam Darnold succeed, not at the expense of the Bills, but I mean, you don't have any impression right now that Sam Darnold is going to be a success. How's he playing this year? Well, he's a rookie. That's the equivalent of saying, you know, Darnold's Darnold.
Darnold's Darnold, right.
Oh, he's a rookie.
But where we bemoan the lack of skilled players around the Buffalo Bills, that team in New York is actually worse than Buffalo at that position. And by the way, if you jumped in, and what was that question about Kelvin Benjamin all about? Kelvin Benjamin got cut today.
Yeah. And I'm going to call an audible at the line of scrimmage real quick here, Gene. Let's get to NFL appetizers and then take a break before happy hour here. Just really quickly kind of give you an overview of what's happening around the NFL today. We could start with the game last night. Colt McCoy's season is over. If you watched last night, you saw him exit the game. Mark Sanchez coming into the game. McCoy has a fractured fibula surgery. End of season. Mark Sanchez. Carrying the Washington Redskins and their hopes for a playoff bid. Good luck with that.
The Bengals, if you're holding on to AJ Green on your fantasy team, don't. His season's over. He's going to undergo surgery to repair torn ligaments on his toe. He should be ready for OTAs, but AJ Green, his timetable now 3 to 4 months.
If you're a Steelers fan, this is not the news you wanted to hear. James Conner already ruled out for Sunday's game in Oakland. Hopefully back in time for a matchup against New England as they visit Heinz Field week 15. You're going to be seeing Jalen Samuels, Stephen Ridley, and the recently promoted Trey Edmonds, older brother of the Bills.
Huh.
Yeah. All of these guys carrying the rushing load for the Steelers against the Raiders here coming up in week 14.
Niners running back Matt Breida re-aggravated his ankle injury in the loss to Seattle, so he is out for Sunday's game against the Broncos. Jeff Wilson, 23 touches, 134 yards from scrimmage, so there's a name that might be a sneaky guy you can pick up tonight on the waiver wire. Jeff Wilson, also some good news for the Niners. Former Buffalo Bill Marquise Goodwin returning to practice on Monday, this after dealing with a family issue.
And finally, a little bit of clarity on the Jerry Hughes story. Right after the game, Jerry Hughes on tape going after an official because he said the official called him a name. Would you believe that this official, umpire, Roy Ellison, has a history of doing this? He was suspended for a game in 2013 for using language that the NFL described as profane and derogatory towards Washington offensive lineman Trent Williams. Now, he's considered one of the best umps in the league. He worked the Super Bowl last year. But if Hughes is indeed telling the truth that Ellison did call him a B, there's a very good chance that Ellison could be looking for work soon, especially if you've already been warned about this behavior in the past.
Yeah, I mean, Jerry Hughes is a hothead. We already knew this, but there's no place for that. You move on from this guy.
NFL Appetizers is brought to you exclusively by Alex's Place. Alex's Place, making mouth-watering barbecue baby back ribs for over 25 years. Online at alexsribs.com. All right, let's get to happy hour next. A lot to go over, including the Bills releasing Kelvin Benjamin and Andre Holmes. We'll get to that and more next in another round of shots as well. AM 950 and 95.7 FM, ESPN Rochester.
If you're a Grinch or a Scrooge, this news is huge. It's time to light up the holiday season. Pack up the kids and head to the Dome Arena on Calkins Road in Henrietta. Switch on the holiday soundtrack and sing along as you drive through the brand new Rochester Festival of Lights and North Pole Village to benefit the Salvation Army. Ooh and ah your way through a million dazzling lights and festive holiday displays. Start a new tradition and make colorful new holiday memories. But wait, this is an outdoor indoor experience. Park the car and head into the Dome for the special indoor light show and take a stroll through the North Pole Village where the kids can meet Santa. Take scenic family holiday photos, decorate stockings and cookies, jump around the bounce houses and more. Open every Friday, Saturday and Sunday night in December. The Rochester Festival of Lights in North Pole Village is sponsored by Victor Chevrolet, located in the heart of Victor, find new roads, and by MVP Health. Care. More convenient, more supportive, more personal. Get in the holiday spirit. Find dates and details on Facebook or at RochesterFestivalOfLights.com.